Hey there, welcome to Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimak. Today is Wednesday, May the 20th. And I'm so glad that you were able to show up for the program. I'm going to be here for the next 30 minutes. Hope you can stick around for the entire show. On today's program, we're going to be talking about the power of an encounter with Jesus. You know, this one just came to me today. I wanted to talk about this just so in case you're struggling right now with whatever problem, it doesn't have to be coronavirus related, with anything that you are facing in your life, I want you to understand the power of an encounter with Jesus, how Jesus can turn things around instantly. But even more importantly than that, look, we all know he's powerful. We all know that he can do all things, even though sometimes we forget that. But basically, we know that. If somebody would ask you, can Jesus perform miracles? We're going to say, yeah. But we sometimes forget just how much he cares about each one of us individually. I'm going to share a story with you today from the pages of the Bible that really sums up both of those important facts. Number one, Jesus can perform miracles, and the encounter with Jesus can be life-changing, right? That's number one. Number two is that he notices us. He understands that we are struggling. He understands that we have problems, and he notices us so much that he can pick us out of a crowd. So let's talk about that today. This is going to be the story of the woman with a hemorrhaging for 12 years. And when you hear the details of what this woman dealt with, hopefully you'll understand how desperate, how hopeless she may have felt, but she still knew what could happen if she could only encounter Jesus. So let's talk about this on the program today. I hope you're doing well. Hope you may have had a chance to catch me on the Sunrise Morning Show today on EWTN Radio. I'm on every week in case you're ever up at that time, 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time. You can catch me on the Sunrise Morning Show every week on your local EWTN Radio affiliate. Before we get on with the show, starting with prayer, just one further reminder. Have you signed up yet for my Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled daily email devotional? If not, what are you waiting for? Just go to followingthetruth.com, click on the button that says sign up for Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, and you will be all set. I want to thank you if you have done it, because we've had hundreds of people sign up just over the past day. So I'm really excited about this opportunity. Look, I'm looking for ways to reach out to you and to walk with you every day, to connect with you. And I want you to understand, and I think you do, if you know me well enough, you understand this, that I'm walking on this journey just as much as you are. Sometimes I stumble. Sometimes I let fear get the best of me. But I've been at this long enough to realize that once I hit my knees and start praying to the Lord and reconnect with Jesus, as you're going to see in this story today, then things get much better and my peace is restored. And I want to share that with you. I want to let you know that following Jesus, and I mean really following him, I'm not just talking about going through the motions or going to church each week. It's much more than that. Following Jesus and surrendering your life to him is the absolute way to peace. It's the only way you're going to find lasting peace. And if I hadn't lived this message, then I couldn't say this with authority or with any kind of credibility. But honestly, in my life, I have learned to do that, and I'm working on it. It's a process, but every day I'm trying to surrender more and more to his will, to follow Christ, and that means stepping out of my comfort zone sometimes. But when I do that, every time I do that, there's a reward associated with it. That peace that I'm looking for comes along with that. So please do that today. If you have not surrendered your life to Christ, do it today. And it's not just a saying. It's not just a pious sentiment. It is an action. It means he's the Lord, he's the boss, and guided by the Holy Spirit, we live our lives following Jesus. And every decision we make has to be first run by him. And you can use the old saying, slogan, or question, what would Jesus do in any situation of my life? And if you do that, then you can be sure you are following him. and you're going to get that piece you're looking for. So I just want you to know that, and I really mean that. If you ever have any questions, how do I do this? How do you do it? How is it possible to get past my fear? Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address, and I'll do my best to get you an answer as soon as I can. All right? Sound good? Okay, look, let's pray. And then we'll talk about the woman who suffered from a hemorrhage for 12 years and was cured instantly by Jesus. Let's pray together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Powerful Father in heaven, we turn to you in prayer today. We turn to you expectantly, knowing that when we speak with you, when we ask you for anything, we expect an answer. We don't always get the answer we want, but we expect an answer. Well, Father, today we turn to you with our problems, with the things that are weighing us down, the concerns, the frustrations, the difficulties, the crises. You know, some of these things are pretty bad, Father, as you know. They really upset us. So we give you these problems today and trust in you and your almighty power to handle them for us. And we thank you, Father. We pray for the grace to be more patient with you and to trust you more. Because I think we get frustrated often when you don't answer as fast as we would like. And then we move on, or we stop praying, or we lose hope. No. We pray, Father, for the grace of patience so that we can trust you and learn to wait on you in all things. Father, we pray for those suffering in any way from the coronavirus. We pray for an end to the virus. We pray for a return to church and for normal life to resume. But we also pray that we can be changed. Changed spiritually so that we can recognize you better. We can recognize your blessings and be more grateful for them and be more willing and docile to the movement of the Holy Spirit inside of us. Increase our desire to follow Jesus, your Son. Help us to love others as you love us. Help us to forgive as you forgive. Help us to see things from your point of view, even if we don't understand all of the details. Father, I ask you to use me this day on the program. Use me to proclaim your message. Let me know what it is that you want me to say. Guide my thoughts, my words on this show today. And please open all of our hearts and minds to be receptive to your message. As we do every day, Father in heaven, we ask these things in Jesus' powerful and mighty name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, you ready to go? Ready to get started to look at this, this story of, you know, I love doing this when I get to open the Bible and just share with you God's Word. I just love doing it, and I pray that through the power of the Holy Spirit working in me, that you get as much out of this encounter, this episode, this story, as I did when I read it earlier today. It just moved me so much that I felt that I needed to talk about it on the show today. So let's get right to it. This is from Mark's Gospel, and this is chapter 5. Beginning in verse, let's see what we have. Beginning in verse 24. So it's Mark 5:24. Now this took place just after a man named Jairus, one of the rulers of the synagogue. And I'm pretty sure we talked about this story on the show not too long ago. Jairus confronted Jesus and told him that his little daughter was at the point of death. And he asked Jesus to come with him. To come with him and heal his daughter. And in the meantime, Jesus encounters this woman who has a desperate need of a healing. So we're going to concentrate on this part of the story today. And again, it's Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 24. And Mark starts out with a great crowd followed Jesus and thronged about him. One of the things about Jesus was he attracted crowds. Some people loved him, some people couldn't stand him. But one thing about Jesus that's certainly true, it was true then. I don't know if it's, I was going to say it's true now, but sometimes I think it isn't true now. You couldn't back in his day ignore Jesus. You either had to be amazed by him and follow him, or you rejected him vehemently. Nowadays, I think people do ignore him, which is really sad, but that's why it's up to you and me to live a Christian life, right? To let people know the secret, to let them know about Jesus. And as I've told you, it doesn't come about all the time with hitting people over the head with your Bible. As a matter of fact, I don't ever recommend hitting them over the head with your Bible. But you know what I'm saying? You gotta live, you gotta walk the walk. You gotta legitimately live a Christian life so you can attract people. Then at that point, you're gonna have an opportunity to evangelize a little bit using some words, using some scripture. But that's not gonna happen until you really show them that you're living the Christian life and you're attractive. Nobody's gonna want to follow a jerk. Right? Why would I want to become a Christian if all the Christians I know are nasty and hopeless? But here's a case where a great crowd followed Jesus and thronged about him. So picture this. Tons of people pressing all around Jesus. Then in verse 25, we're told there was a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather she grew worse. Now, having a flow of blood made her unclean back in the day of the Lord, and she was an outcast. So nobody wanted to be, nobody could by law, by the Mosaic law, nobody could hang out with this woman. She was an outcast. She spent all that she had going to doctors, going the conventional route. And not only did she not get better, she got worse. So here she is. She has no money. She's an outcast. She's sick. And you would think that if you put yourself in her shoes for a minute, you'd think that she would be desperate and hopeless. I mean, wouldn't you be? Have you ever been in a situation like that? You might be there now, where you are feeling desperate and hopeless when you feel there is no way out. And if you do feel that way, I want you to hang with me here because there is a way out. And you're going to hear about that way out today. So this woman suffered under many physicians, and she spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Now, listen, if you're sick, you're supposed to go to the doctor. Jesus wants you to go to the doctor. I'm not advocating you don't go to the doctor. This is not a slam on physicians, but this is just a fact. I'm just giving you the facts of this Bible story. But here's what I see. Here's what I feel the Holy Spirit saying to me through this. Sometimes the Lord lets us hit rock bottom so that he can work with us. Because it's when we hit rock bottom, and I know this was the story of my life, when we hit rock bottom, that's when we recognize that we really need a Savior, that we really need somebody to help us because we can't do it by ourselves, right? And I'm sure you may have been in that position as well. Maybe that's how your conversion came about. You realized you need Jesus. See, for most of my life, I didn't think I needed him. I was cocky. I was arrogant. I worried about a lot of things. But it never occurred to me just how much I needed Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior in my life. And honestly, most of that was due to the example of those around me, my family members, my friends. They were all Catholic. But nobody seemed to really know Jesus. And I've got a new book coming out in the fall where I talk about the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things I mention in that book is that the first time I encountered Catholics who seemed to really know Jesus and believe in miracles was when I went to the Charismatic Renewal prayer meetings in the late 70s while I was still in college. And that blew me away. That was an experience that really stuck with me. And that really, it was dormant, that experience lied dormant for many years. But eventually it began to bear a heck of a lot of fruit in my life when I realized the power of the Holy Spirit to help us to get to know Jesus. See, he's got to become real for you. And a lot of times we have different paths that we take. And many of us have to really hit the bottom and fall on our faces before we encounter Jesus, before we make that attempt to really encounter Jesus and he becomes real to us. So that's what's happening here. This woman was no better after all going to all these doctors. She's pretty much hitting rock bottom. She's got no more money, so she can't go to any more doctors. She's an outcast, so she's not going to be able to support herself in any way. But listen to this. She heard the reports about Jesus. She heard about Jesus. That's one of the reasons I write and speak about Jesus Christ, because I'm hoping that you're going to, through my words, hear about Jesus as well. And we're hearing about Jesus in this story. She heard the reports about Jesus. She hadn't met him yet, but she heard the reports about Jesus. And what did she do? She came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Now we see here, remember, the crowd's pressing around Jesus. So there's a big crowd here. And she comes up behind Jesus because she knows she's an outcast. And she doesn't want to call attention to herself. This is a position of humility. She comes up behind Jesus. And what did she do? In the crowd, and she touched his garment. Pretty radical move, nonetheless. Even though she's only coming up behind him and she's only touching his garment, she's not even trying to speak with him. For an outcast to do this, it's obviously a move of desperation, but she realizes that this is her chance. Jesus is in town. Now is the time for her to act because she desperately needs some help. For she said this, and this is going to give her some insight into why she took this bold move to touch Jesus from behind. She said in verse 28, "If I touch even his garments, I shall be made well." Now imagine that. Here's a woman that all she felt was necessary was to touch the garment of Jesus. Never met him before. "All I need to do is touch him," she said, "and I will be made well." Now, obviously, how did she hear these stories? She probably heard stories about Jesus from other people. There was no Bible accounts. Of course, the Old Testament or the Hebrew Scriptures did exist at this point in time. But writings about Jesus, non-existent. Because, of course, this is in the time when our Lord's still walking the face of the earth. But she heard a report or reports about Jesus. Now, are you sharing Jesus with others? Because there might be somebody else, like this woman, who needs to hear about Jesus, what Jesus did in your life. Are you doing that for somebody? Keep that in the back of your mind. You know, even though we all have needs, even though you may have a serious problem in your life right now, even though you might need a healing, that doesn't mean that you can't share Jesus with others. Because this is a process that we go through. He gradually heals us throughout our lives. We're going to have problem after problem. I mean, that's how it happens. There's problems in life. But has Jesus ever done anything for you? And have you ever shared what he's done for you with somebody else? You know, if somebody would have done that for me when I was younger, it might have changed things and really expedited my conversion. But nobody really did that for me. I know back in my day, a lot of people didn't share their faith, especially in the Catholic world. It just wasn't done that much. I went to Catholic school too, but it wasn't done that much. But what can we do to change that? Somebody needs to hear about Jesus in your life today on Facebook. You know, you could share something on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. You text somebody. It doesn't have to be over the top, but just some kind of a mention about Jesus, about the church, about the Bible, a verse that maybe helped you. Because you can draw somebody to the Lord by doing that. So because this woman heard about Jesus, her faith grew to the point where she said, if I just touch his garment, I'm going to be healed. So immediately, right? She touched him immediately. Verse 29, the hemorrhage ceased, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. She felt the power that comes from an encounter with Jesus Christ. Now, Hebrews 13:8 tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So really, I don't want you thinking that, well, Jesus isn't around now. I wish I would have had the opportunity to do this. You do have the opportunity because he's the same. He looks different, but he's the same yesterday and today and forever. How desperate are you to touch the hem of Jesus' garments? Do you want to encounter him today? Because he can. And even if many of us can't get into the church building and can't receive Jesus in the Eucharist or encounter him in the sacrament of confession, we can still encounter him today spiritually, no matter where we are. You can do it right now. He's with us. He's with me right now. I'm going to reach out my hand and say, Jesus, grab onto my hand, please, my friend. And he's doing it. It's a guarantee. He is doing it. Why don't you do that? Extend your hand. Let him hold your hand right now. Feel his hand so that you have the same encounter that this woman did with Jesus. The hemorrhage ceased immediately. All of a sudden, her life is restored, right? Because now she's not an outcast anymore. She got the healing she sought. This was the most important thing in her life, an impossible situation. 12 years in the making. Doctors. All of her money gone. Now all of a sudden she meets Jesus and boom, she is healed just like that. Now check out this part of verse 30. Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone forth from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" You see that? Jesus noticed this woman in the crowd, this woman who approached him with great faith, looking for a healing, just wanting to touch his garments. He felt her touch. And he feels you when you approach him too. And you need to believe this. He notices you. You got to spend a little time thinking about that because it's something that you can easily overlook. We don't think about that. Jesus really knows when I pray to him. I always try to think about that when I pray. I think he's watching me. He's with me. He's hearing my words. Now, I need to do a little work to make that happen because I can't see him with my eyes. So it's a little bit of a challenge to do that, right? But when you do it, the more you do it, and you ask the Holy Spirit to help you, that presence of the Lord becomes something that you can feel. You know, I don't feel it all the time, but a lot of times I do. And even when I don't feel it, I know in my head, in my intellect, that he's real and that he's with me and that he can hear me. And a lot of times that's got to be good enough sometimes. Again, you don't always feel it, but you know in your head that he's there. His disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" See, what they're trying to say is, look at all these people. What are you talking about? You noticed one person touched you? Yes. He notices you in the crowd. And for us, that's hard to imagine. How is that possible? Well, we're not Jesus. See, he notices us. And I think you need to know that today. He sees you suffering. He sees you struggling. He sees you desperate. And if you'll make the move to come to him, to touch the hem of his garment, to reach out to him, to hold his hand, to kneel before him, he's going to notice. Doesn't that feel good to think about that? And Jesus looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had been done to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. She was afraid at that point. She was desperate to approach him because she believed in him, but she was afraid because she was an outcast. Maybe she was starting to think that she did something wrong. And you know what Jesus said to her? "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Isn't that incredible? Not only does he heal her of her disease, eliminates her status of being an outcast, now she can be accepted once again, but he gave her peace. He gave her that peace that we're all looking for. So I invite you to just spend a little time thinking about that story, but don't just stop there. Don't treat this as a nice story. This isn't a fable. This is a real story. And use it as the invitation or suggestion to imitate her and go to Jesus with your problems today. As I'm speaking here, I'm looking at a picture of Jesus. Hold up a picture. The Divine Mercy image is a great one, if that helps you. Look at an image of Jesus. And when you speak, when you give him, and give him all your problems. Don't hold back. Instead of worrying about them, give them to the Lord. Tell him what you need. Ask for healing. You know, you could be struggling with anxiety right now. Give it to him. Say, "Lord, heal me, please. because I've become an outcast. I'm afraid. I'm like this woman. I'm isolated. I'm afraid to go out of my house. I'm scared. I don't want to hang out with my friends. Not that we can hang out with many friends anymore, but you know what I'm saying. But just imitate her. And we have a biblical precedent for what happens when we do that. Number one, he's going to recognize you. He's going to see you. And then he's going to grant you the healing. Now, sometimes it's not going to be exactly the healing you want. You might want a physical healing and you're going to get some sort of a spiritual healing. Sometimes he does it in stages. It's not always instantaneous. But I think the important thing for us, and this makes me feel really good, to recognize is that there's a recognition that he's going to notice you. Sometimes we feel like nobody notices us. And that makes it even worse, doesn't it? So go to Jesus today, give him your problems, and just pause for a minute and realize that he saw you, that he had pity on you, that he cares, and that he recognized you. And then thank him. And if you start doing that on a regular basis, you're going to find peace that is beyond anything the world can give. You're also going to get to know Jesus really well, and you'll be able to share this advice with other people. That's why I'm able to do it with you, because I've encountered that healing touch of Christ in my life. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to share it with you. All right, I hope you're doing okay. I hope you have a fantastic night. We're going to wrap things up now. God willing, I plan to be back here tomorrow morning. Hey, will you do me a favor? Check out my website at followingthetruth.com. Subscribe to the newsletter. And if you're able to send along a donation to sustain my work, I would appreciate that. You just go to followingthetruth.com, click on donate, and you can do it securely through PayPal. I'd really appreciate if you do that. If my work helps you in any way, I would ask you to help me financially so that I can keep doing this, so that I can keep sharing the good news with as many people as possible. I want you to know also that I'm praying for you, and I would ask you to pray for me and my family. And my goal is to be back here tomorrow. I hope you'll join me on the program. Of course, that all depends on God's will. If he wants me here, I'm going to be here. Have a wonderful night. Hang in there. Remember to go to Jesus today. Kneel before him. Kneel behind him. Whatever you have to do. Touch the hem of his garment, and you're going to see some results. God bless you. See you next time.